Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. To all of the ladies in the congregation, happy Mother's Day. Really, truly, happy Mother's Day. You know, it's a great thing that we get to celebrate mothers and all the rest of that kind of thing. But we're also here because we continue our celebration of Easter, and we continue to proclaim to anyone who will listen to us that Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And it's a good thing for us to be together. I also wish a happy Mother's Day to anyone who is watching us online right now. I am glad that you are with us. There are Sunday school bags in the back pew, so if there are children here, if there will be children visiting your house, please take them one of those Sunday school bags so that they have even just that brief kind of moment to understand how much it is that God loves them. Sunday, May 29, here at St. John's, we will be celebrating and recognizing our high school graduates. We'll be recognizing the graduates at both services, so here at 8:30 and then at 10:30. But I hope that you will be able to join us that weekend as we give thanks for all that they do, and we look forward to their future. We've gathered this morning so that we can lend our voices to those across the world in giving thanks and praise to God. And so let us continue our worship by joining in our gathering song. It is You Never Let Go. Let us rise and sing together.
Your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. Oh,
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
So with you.
Let us pray. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your everlasting covenant, make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will and work among us all that is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First lesson is from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to a room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 10th chapter. At that same time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, then they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of our Lord. Jesus is risen. And may that risen presence of Christ go with us now and always. Amen. I want to start today not at the very beginning, a la Sound of Music, but rather at the very end. All right? The last thing we hear in today's gospel story is the Father and I are one. This is the climactic statement by Jesus at the end of this gospel. Everything else that Jesus has been saying in all of chapter 10 is leading to this pronouncement. My question is, what does that really mean, the Father and I are one? In today's gospel, the unity that Jesus proclaims is a unity of will and action. It's a unity that brings to all the faithful, to all of God's children, to all who follow Jesus, the greatest gift of all, which is eternal life. You see, our loving God, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord, gives us eternal life. That is life with the eternal one. See, that's why the people have been coming to see Jesus. That's why they have been pondering his words, attracted by his activity. This is why John has been telling us all of these stories in his gospel. We heard that a couple of weeks ago when he said, these stories are told that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God the Son, that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And in believing, you may come to have life in his name. That life in his name is the eternal life that Jesus is showing us. That life is the unity between Jesus and the Father that we hear about today. But unfortunately, the leaders of the Jewish people talking to Jesus today have no clue about, none at all. You see, the leaders of the Jewish people have come to Jesus today looking for some answers. But what they were looking for were the answers that they wanted to hear, not necessarily the answers that Jesus has been giving. Jesus was in the temple during the festival of dedication. We know it today more often as Hanukkah. And they came to ask Jesus to tell them plain. They wanted to know if Jesus was the Messiah for whom they have been waiting. But I think the timing for this conversation is important. You see, the people who were questioning Jesus at the temple for Hanukkah were there for that festival, and that festival led them on certain trains of thought. And so the question becomes, what then is the festival of dedication? All right. Now, you may remember, if you cast back to that one time in catechism class, they talked about all of that Old Testament history in one lesson, right? So God's people were good under David and Solomon, and then they split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah, right? Israel went on and was taken off into exile, and then Judah went on for a little bit longer, but they were taken off into exile in Babylon. All right. The Babylonian exile ended when the Persian ruler Cyrus sent all of the Jewish people back to their homeland. And so they returned. They rejoiced. They were back in Jerusalem. They were back in Judea. They rebuilt and made the temple. The Persian Empire was defeated by Alexander the Great. Alexander, who pretty much conquered most of the known world at that point in time, died by the time he was 30, and all of his generals split up that huge empire. So Ptolemy took Africa, Seleucus took Asia Minor, Antigonus took parts of Macedonia and Greece, and then Cassander got whatever was left over. So Judea, that eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, was fought over by the Ptolemies in Egypt and the Seleucids up in Asia Minor, and for years and years and years they were fought over. The Seleucids eventually won, and one of their leaders, one of their rulers, Antiochus IV, known as Epiphanes, rises and he profanes the temple. He sacrifices a pig on the high altar of the temple in Jerusalem. You can't get much more sacrilegious than that. Matthias and his five sons, who become known as the Maccabees, begin an uprising. 3 years of guerrilla fighting between the Maccabees and the forces of Antiochus lead to the defeat of Antiochus. And the Jews have returned to ruling themselves. And so they come and they rededicate the temple. There was only one small jug of oil left in the entire temple that had not been profaned. It was enough to last one day. It lasted 8 days. And so Hanukkah, the festival of lights, is begun. It is about dedicating the temple. So the festival celebrates God's blessing and goodness. It celebrates the rededication of God's plan, and it celebrates the conquest of the people's enemies. So when Jesus is in the temple for that Hanukkah celebration, the Jewish leaders have questions, but they also have the answers that they wanted to hear from Jesus. You see, they had a uniform that they wanted Jesus to wear, and they had a box in which they wanted him to fit into. So the questions that they are asking are urgent for them. at that festival where they were remembering the power of the hammers. That's what the Jewish word Maccabee means. As they were remembering the Maccabees and their uprising, they want to see if Jesus is going to do the same thing to Rome that the Maccabees had done to Antiochus. That's what they were looking for. Some of them with much excitement and others with trepidation, but that's what they were looking for. Hanukkah was a celebration of a political uprising that allowed for a return to religious purity. The Jewish leaders were looking for a general as well as a priest. They were awaiting a Messiah who would free Israel once again from outside forces and begin a pure and blessed life with God. And so they asked Jesus, "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." They were asking for him to give his plan and his platform. They were looking for him to fit into their uniform and to see if his box would fit into theirs. Jesus' response to all of that big, huge, loaded question is to tell them that they are looking for something that he is not, as well as something that God is not sending. The Jewish leaders are looking for an earthly kingdom to rival that of David. They are looking for a temple that will demand the kind of obedience that they favor for all Jews. They are looking for a Messiah who will crush the opposition and rise to prominence with all of them by his side. Jesus is not the leader of a rebellion or a warrior leading the people in a nationalistic uprising. Jesus did not come to defeat our earthly enemies or destroy those who conquer. The enemies that Jesus defeats are sin, death, and the devil, or the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. This is the work that the Father sent him to do for us. This is the work Jesus does on our behalf. The Jewish leaders are not in the same flock. They don't hear Jesus' voice. They could be part of that flock, but right now they are opposed to it. They're working against Jesus' ministry. Because you see, Jesus' claim is that his sheep hear his voice. The sheep know that voice and they follow that voice, and that voice that is going to lead them into lives of care and forgiveness, lives of love and service to friends and neighbors. Jesus tells us all that those who hear his voice resonate with that message. And in his life, Jesus claims that there is no need to overthrow Rome, to rebuild David's kingdom, or to set up the Pharisees' life plan as first and foremost for all of Israel. What Jesus is leading us all to are lives filled with the love of God to overflowing. What Jesus is living for us is the defeat of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. What Jesus is giving us is eternal life. That is, life connected to the eternal one. The Jewish leaders were coming at Jesus asking if he would tell them plainly. And Jesus says to them, "I have told you and you do not believe." Throughout his ministry, Jesus has been living and teaching, helping, healing, feeding people so that God's love was easily seen by all who were looking for it. When asked, Jesus answered. When confronted, Jesus responds with compassion. He did not come into the world as a conquering general or an earthly ruler. Jesus came to show us what God is truly like. Jesus came to show us how God behaves with love and compassion, leading us to still waters, green pastures, and even through dark valleys by our way. All the time. Jesus' final statement tells it plain. The Father and I are one. Jesus lets us know that if we want to know what God is like, then watch what he, Jesus, is doing. The unity Jesus proclaims is foundational. What God wants, Jesus wants. How Jesus behaves is how God behaves. What God wills is what Jesus accomplishes. As followers of Jesus, we can look to him for inspiration. As children of God, we can look to Jesus for guidance and grace, for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus came that we might dedicate our lives to living the love of God for our neighbor, not for conquering or ruling. This life doesn't need to be something miraculous, although it can be. Instead, for us, we overthrow the power of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves with the power of Jesus' love for us. We overthrow the influence of sin, death, and the devil by relying on our good shepherd, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life given and shown for us. We live our lives through the gift of eternal life, our life connected to God, the eternal one, through the life and the love of Jesus. Now, we get to go into the world, not in conquest or battle, but rather living lives for the sake of others around us. And our rallying cry is the truth that we discover in our Easter proclamation. Jesus is risen. Amen. Please rise and let us pray. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. Gentle Shepherd, enable your church to respond to the voice of Jesus. Give us unfailing trust, unafraid to join Jesus in work of renewing all things. Lord, in your mercy, feed your people at the table of creation. Prepare a safe place for those whose environments are dangerous or unhealthy, especially those making difficult journeys. Prosper your creation for the sake of every living thing. Lord, in your mercy, warm the hearts of all who celebrate and all who mourn on Mother's Day. Accompany those yearning to be mothers. Help us to heal from broken family relationships and open us to receive your nurturing love for all who serve mothering roles in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, seek out those who weep while they wait healing or consolation. Set people in their path who can provide the care they need and wipe away every tear from their eye. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury or accident. We pray especially for Jack, Gail, Sharon, John, and Kathy, and Bob. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. Inspire the words of prophets and saints who employ imaginative imagery to stretch our understanding. Send Christ to instruct us all with motherly care. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, we pray for the people of Ukraine caught up in the turmoil of violence and warfare. Protect, comfort, and support those working to restore peace and care for those in need. Turn hearts from fear, hatred, and violence to love, compassion, and reconciliation. Open lines of communication and provide care and relief to those who are wounded, that they may know healing, peace, and hope. Lord, in your mercy, enfold us in the great multitude of saints from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Wash us in your saving grace every day, guiding us to your waters of life. Dear Lord, we also pray especially today for the family and the friends of Linda Waxler. Lord, in your mercy. In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the glorious Father, the risen Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the most gracious Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, ladies, happy Mother's Day. Once again, for all of us, Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now let us all go into the world with hope.
To make God's passion our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Worthy.